This is all of it. This is National Nurses Week, and more than ever, people are celebrating the fact that nurses are really heroes in the healthcare system. We celebrate this and we know this, but many of us don't get to see them in action, especially during a pandemic. One nurse who is also an accomplished photographer set out to show us all. Karen Cunningham worked for years as a professional photographer. And full disclosure, if you go to my book jacket and you'll see that this photo, this awesome photo of me, was taken by Karen Cunningham. She's great. At the height of her career, she was named one of the best wedding photographers in New York City. After years of working in the field, she changed careers and Karen became an intensive care nurse. Today, she works in the ICU at Lenox Hill Hospital. Recently, she got the go-ahead to bring her camera to work and documented a day in the life of a nurse, specifically her friend and 30-year-old colleague, Katie Chaplin. The black and white photos reveal both the extraordinary conditions the doctors and nurses are working under, as well as the simple moments treating patients with COVID, like just holding someone's hand. The portfolio of photos called A City Nurse appears in the May 4th issue of The New Yorker with an accompanying essay by New Yorker editor David Remnick. And you can see a few of Karen's pictures on our show page at WNYC.org. Katie, welcome to All of It.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Karen, I'm so happy to have you on the show. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Nice to talk to you.
So Karen, why did you want to become a nurse after this great career as a photographer?
Well, I mean, like a lot of artists, I got to a point where I just wanted to focus on my fine art work, but I had a commercial career, and that was my day job, and I loved it, but it takes a lot of time, and I needed a different setup so that I could work less as a commercial photographer, which is a 5-6-day-a-week business, and one of my high school friends who is a nurse suggested that I go into nursing, which may sound strange, but my mom was a nurse, my dad was a doctor, and when I dipped my toe into it, it really suited me, and I really liked studying the medicine, and then when I got to work, I really loved being part of the team, so I made the complete switch.
Katie, how did you and Karen meet?
She was working on the ICU step-down unit called Seven Lockman, which is now mostly neuroscience. For, I want to say, like a year or so before I came onto the unit, so I was a brand new nurse, and Karen was a staff nurse on the unit when I started.
So as you two began working together and as this pandemic evolved, Katie, what did you think when Karen suggested photographing what's happening?
I think we were both a little bit hesitant and discussed over a few subway rides to the hospital, not wanting to, to take advantage of a situation, mm-hmm. but the more we talked, the more we decided that it would be advantageous for people to really see what it is that we were going through. I felt like a lot of people were minimizing the whole pandemic, and I was guilty of doing the same, you know, before I really showed up for work that day and saw what it was that we were dealing with. So we both agreed that it would be more beneficial to show everyone what it was really like.
Karen, what did you hope to document about the experience of healthcare workers in these COVID-19 units through your photography?
Well, I had hoped to illustrate the sensitivity and the tenderness that the staff has while working under extreme stress, not just the physical stress of the PPE, but these patients are extremely unstable. I actually am not an ICU nurse. I'm what's called a step-down ICU nurse. So Katie works in the ICU, and I work in the place where you're just going to the ICU or just coming mm-hmm. back to the ICU. So the patients, this disease is so unusual that, you know, within a 15-minute period, you could have someone go from stable to needing to be intubated. And, you know, as a nurse, to be on alert like that, but then still be providing safe care, and my patients all talk. For the most part. So they're asking questions like, am I going to die? And it was very overwhelming at first, and you had to maintain your composure, and the nurses are under this kind of pressure. So I wanted to show what they're going through because they're concerned with their patients, but they're putting aside their own feelings during their shift to help people. And I think oftentimes people don't realize how sick these patients are, so I wanted to be able to show that within the confines of HIPAA. but also show the toll it was taking on the nurses.
Karen, how did being a nurse inform your work as a photographer in this situation?
Well, I study photography in the, you know, classic photojournalistic tradition, you know, where you immerse yourself in the story, whether photographing over a long period of time, or in my particular case for this story, I understand what the work is because I'm doing it. And I knew when I was discussing it with Katie that I wouldn't be in danger of being in the way and compromising the care. And I had the respect of my colleagues, you know, and I wouldn't be seen as this outsider that could, you know, break sterile technique or the PPE. And I think that really helped me to focus in on what was important for the public to see, and to try to translate it so that they could understand what was going on without scaring them or compromising the patient's identity.
What's an example of a shot that you might not known to take if you hadn't been part of this community of nurses?
Well, definitely the two pictures that stand out are the patient when they're restrained while being intubated. Katie can speak to this more directly, why they're restrained. But I don't think people realize how stressful intubation is for the patient. I mean, of course, they focus on that it's a life-saving measure. It's very uncomfortable for the patient, and the ICU nurse is constantly watching the patient's comfort and breathing effort and titrating sometimes minute by minute. So that picture of Katie where she's sort of standing at the ready, you know, turning around quickly to the patient is because she is noticing the patient struggling, even though they're heavily sedated. You know, and of course the picture where they're flipping the patient, the prone team, like nobody would really know what that was from the outside if you described it, oh, they're proning the patient, unless you were a nurse. And so that helped me to try to explain to people visually as well as with the caption, this is what these patients are going through. It's extremely dangerous and difficult process to put the patient through, to flip someone who's intubated like that.
My guests are Karen Cunningham, photographer and nurse, as well as Katie Chapman, intensive care nurse. We're talking about the photo essay in the May 4th issue of The New Yorker called A City Nurse. So, Katie, you know, the collection opens with that photo of you, with that look of focus and determination, and sort of your eyebrows, the only thing visible on your face behind the face shield, the face mask. What were you thinking in that moment?
So I was actually, that's a negative pressure room, which is, it means that all of the air stays in the room, which normally we use for airborne illnesses like tuberculosis or meningitis. So in those negative pressure rooms, we actually have desktops mounted to the wall so that we're not bringing a portable computer in and out. So I was looking up orders. You're seeing me looking at the screen. I was looking up orders or scanning meds, and the patient was behind me.
And there's so much gear. How does it feel to wear all that gear and do your job with what you're wearing?
The gear is honestly one of the most stressful parts. I feel like we feel very isolated, and of course isolation is the point, but it kind of has really diminished the camaraderie that we ordinarily have with our coworkers, because, you know, sometimes you're with a patient and you ask someone to run in and help you out, but knowing the risk now and the amount of exposure that we're all getting on a regular basis, I would say we're really minimizing trying our best to minimize other people's exposure. So like I seldom ask someone to come and help me in a room if it's something that I think that I can do myself. So the work has become a much more solitary job.
There's also a great picture, Katie, and I'll get you and Karen to both comment on it. And you're coming up an escalator. And I think you've got a Kate Bush t-shirt on, maybe?
I do, yeah.
Karen, what does that picture mean in the context of this essay?
Well, you know, when we show up to work, we're just nurses, I suppose, to the public. But every single nurse has their own personal story and idiosyncrasies and tastes. And, you know, when I joined up to be a nurse about 10 years ago, one of the things that I was surprised by my photography colleagues was how ill-informed they were about what type of person would become a nurse. And nursing today is filled with people that patronize the arts, that are extremely well-read, that like Kate Bush. And I really like showing this part of Katie's personality. It was really important to me that people see her beyond, you know, a traditional image just in a uniform. Like, she has a life and a lot of interests, and a lot of interests that are being compromised. You know, when you're doing this type of nursing, Katie and I hang out a lot because we're both exposed to COVID, but neither one of us see anybody else socially at all. You know, so these little pieces of our regular life are kind of what we're holding on to until this is over.
These photos are in black and white. Did you always know you would shoot in black and white? And what went into that decision?
The photo director, Joanna Milter of The New Yorker, had asked me to do it in black and white. I'm a really accomplished black and white printer, and that's how I knew The New Yorker. I used to print for their other artist. And when we discussed how this piece should, or I wanted it to look, or they wanted it to look, Eugene Smith, you know, the famous WPA photographer, mm-hmm. kept coming up with his, you know, Country Doctor, and his other piece, which is also amazing, people don't know it as well, is the Nurse Midwife series. And I really felt that those stories individualized the doctor and nurse and showed how much they were sacrificing. So I wanted to harken back to that time.
Katie, I can imagine being a nurse in ICU is stressful even the most normal of times. How does it compare to what you're experiencing for your entire shift now?
The social isolation is definitely really a difficult part of it. You know, I usually have my roommate around to come home to and decompress with, but my roommate is gone. Both agreed that it would just be a safer decision for them to go back to New Jersey. So the social isolation is really hard. And then there's just, you know, it's always a 13-hour shift of being really hypervigilant, you know, mm-hmm. just like Karen said about the drips. And if they're in ICU, you know, there are times when I can't really go to the bathroom without telling someone that I'm going in case something were to change. But now, especially with the PPE, I mean, everything feels like a vector of infection, and, you know, wherever you sit or whatever you touch, everything just feels very dangerous. Or
yeah, I mean, yeah. Especially now we've gotten tested. Our hospital is testing the employees for the antibodies, and, you know, I don't have them. Katie doesn't have them, and we were shocked. So, you know, it's this kind of reintroduction of, wow, okay, great, the PPE is working, but we could still get it at any time.
My guests are Karen Cunningham, photographer and nurse, and Katie Chapman, intensive care nurse. We're talking about A City Nurse, a photo essay that appears in the May 4th issue of The New Yorker. Karen took the photos, and Katie is one of the main subjects. There's this really beautiful, intimate photograph of, it's a doctor's holding a patient's hand. Katie, how important is contact for patients, and what is that like now, where we're supposed to be as far away from each other as possible?
Yeah, so the patients, we can't have any visitors right now unless the patient is imminently dying or being terminally weaned, which means that, you know, they will imminently die. And my patients are, most of them are comatose, but we know that one of the senses that remains intact, even when people are comatose, is sound. So for me, you know, and in addition to the touch that I have to do in order to render care, I actually try to focus on sound. I like to talk to people or play music for people, because we know just through the medical literature that sometimes when people wake up, sound is what remained intact. So that's my approach to still sort of communicating with my patients. And then sometimes we'll hold the phone if they're able to consent, if the patient is consentable, which they're not usually in the ICU. They can video chat with their family, but I've just held the phone up to someone's ear just mm-hmm. so that their family could speak to them.
There is a photo.
I touch my patients a lot. I think it's something, because they are awake, that's very reassuring. People need to be touched. And I think it makes them trust in us more, and they need to be reassured physically. It's not enough just to explain what's happening. They have to have a touch to make the connection that possibly it'll be okay and we'll get them through it.
I'm feeling the lack of touch right now.
That sounds like one of your Subway conversations about to happen. One of the last photos is a photo, and it appears to be the tribute around the time when people clap for workers and hospital workers at 7 p.m. Katie, what is it like to hear that every night when you know that happens?
Yeah, it still mostly makes me cry. It doesn't matter how many times I hear it, just because this has been such a lonely experience. And, you know, sometimes if I'm at the hospital, I'll miss it. But if I'm home in my apartment and I've spent the day, you know, in solitude, to then hear that everybody else is thinking of us is really sort of grounding, you know, makes me feel very much less alone in all of this.
And Karen, one of the things I love about this photo is, even though Katie's wearing a mask, you can kind of tell she's smiling in the mask. Kind of, it's a great picture. How do you feel when you hear, or you know, that everybody in New York City and elsewhere is clapping for you and all your colleagues?
I mean, it feels great. I'm told they're doing it all over the country, but you know, when you walk out of the hospital and three fire trucks and kids, and I even saw some dogs clapping for us, you know, you feel so connected to New York. It's such a special place in that way. They're really behind people in a crisis. You feel it. Yeah, it feels great.
I encourage everyone to go to The New Yorker and check out these photos, or go to our website, wnyc.org, to see a few of them. Katie Chaplin and Karen Cunningham, first of all, thank you for all the work that you do. I know that all of New York's with both of you and all of your colleagues. Please send that along. And thank you for making time today.
Okay. All right.
Thanks,
thank you.
Awesome.